Turn in your Bible, please, to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, if you'll turn there, please. It's good to be back. Good to be at a church that stands for old-fashioned Bible truths. That doesn't change. And I've had a couple of good things happen tonight. I got to find out about the Jasonville 500. I got to hear the anthem for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I didn't know I was going to get to hear your anthem tonight, brother. That was good. See, so I'm glad that my wife Vicki could be with me tonight and travel down here. We had a chance to be another good Bible-believing Baptist church earlier today. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and pass those out, please. And we'll have extras back there for you. We'll pass out one per family now, but we'll have extras back there for you to take to friends and neighbors and relatives, people that care about what's going on. There are people in Jasonville, people in Duggar, people in Bloomfield, people in Linton, people in Sullivan, people in Clay City, people that care about the same issues I'm going to talk about tonight, but they don't know what's going on. The politicians count on you hearing me tonight, getting stirred up, getting a little bit mad maybe, and then just letting it drop. It's kind of like coming to a revival service or to a preaching service. You know, the devil doesn't mind if you get a little bit stirred up in the church, but heaven forbid that you'll go out of the church and take it home and put it into your life. That's what the Satan doesn't want. And so in this battle for our freedoms and our family, let me just digress here for just a minute while they're passing those out. The young people that participated in Master's Club, those that are fourth through sixth grade, and those that are the younger ones, those young people can't vote. That they may not understand all of the things I'm going to talk about tonight, but those of you that are 16, 17, 18 and older, you'll understand. It's really simple what I'm going to be talking about tonight, about the need to take a stand for righteousness at a time in our nation when our nation, now don't miss this, I believe our nation is at grave risk today. I believe our state is at grave risk today, but we serve a great God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so what we need to do is to say, yes, we have great problems. And yes, it's dark. Do you know why it's so dark in Washington, D.C., in terms of morality, in terms of the culture? Do you know why it's so dark in Indianapolis, Indiana, there at the State House? I tell you why, because of the lack of light. That's why it's dark there. Who's the light of the world? Christians are to take the message of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere that we go. And because Christians, not down here, you need to pray often for your preacher. You need to pray often for his family. Now, I mean this sincerely. I have preached around the state of Indiana and in different other states for 28 years now. Your preacher is a unique individual in that he has stood by the stuff all this time, followed in the footsteps of his dad, and he's still preaching the book, the blessed hope, and the blood. And you need to know that there are pastors everywhere that are lowering the standard. They're lowering the flag. And you need to be aware of that. And you need to thank God for a pastor that hasn't changed, isn't going to change, but Satan is going to attack him and his family, the church and the school and everything that you do. So stand behind him, support him, encourage him, follow his leadership, and go out and want more things for your family and your church and the cause of Christ in 2009 than you've ever seen before. Go out, yes, in the midst of a dark, dark time. But it's just like in Ezekiel's time. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22. What we've got here is exactly where we are in America today. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 24, in chapter 22 of Ezekiel, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets, talking about the religious people, in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 26, another condemnation of the religious people. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Then the political people,
her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Back to the religious people. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies into them, saying, get this, thus saith the Lord God when the Lord hath not spoken. He's talked about the religious people. He's talked about the politicians. And now he's talking about the people of the land. Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercise robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. God says, the political people have gone astray.
Right.
Sounds like America today. Now, by the way, let me just digress for just a minute. We're living in the greatest country on the face of the earth.
Amen.
America has her problems, but America is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. And just as when your children didn't do everything that you wanted them to do, you didn't give up on your children. You love them, you correct them. We must not give up on America. Now, I know that being an American citizen doesn't get you into heaven. I understand that. But England used to send missionaries to America. Now we send missionaries to England. We need to continue to do all that we can to keep the freedoms that we've got here, so that we can not only evangelize and reach lost souls here, but also reach people around the world. So yes, America's got some problems. Families have problems. But mom and dad, don't give up on your kids and don't give up on America. God says the politicians have gone astray. God says that the political leaders, the politicians, the religious leaders have gone astray. The people have gone astray. So did God say, well, that's it. That's the end of the book. Let's just fold her up. No. Look at the next verse. Verse 3. This is America today. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And I found, what's the next word? None. That's America today. Now, not at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but around the land. God is looking out and saying, does anybody want to take me seriously? They may be 8 years old. They may be 10 years old. They may be 15 years old. They may be 20 years old. They may be 88 years old. Does anybody want to take me seriously for America? Does anybody really want to get on their knees and pray and get a hold of God and say, dear Lord, save our land? It was dark days when Wilberforce was fighting in England against slavery, but he didn't give up. It was dark days that we've had in the past in America, during the Revolutionary War and during the Civil War and during World War I and World War II. We are facing problems in America today, but problems are opportunities for our great God to show who's in control. The politicians think they're in control, but in Psalm 118 it says it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Our confidence is not in men. Our confidence is in the book. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to get a hold of the Lord. And tonight, I trust as we look at some things that are happening in Indianapolis, that you won't get discouraged, you won't get despondent, you won't get down, you won't go out here saying, woe is us, everything is gone. Instead, just say, you know what? It's pretty dark today. We got some problems, but we've got a great God, and I'm going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And down here in Jasonville, Indiana, on March the 15th, 2009, we're going to have a whole lot of people tonight before I leave here are going to purpose in their heart that they're going to do more for their family, their church, and their country than they've ever done before. Lord Jesus, bless this time. Make it profitable, Lord. Lord, may people see you tonight. Lord, get me out of the way. May people see you. And may all of us, as we go out of here today, say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord, and may everyone go out of here walking closer with you than when they came in. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that don't know much about Advanced America, real quickly, we've served as your eyes and ears down at the State House for 28 years. We're nonpartisan. We're tax-exempt, we're educational, we don't endorse any candidate or any political party. The issues we're going to talk about tonight are Bible issues. They are not Republican issues, and they're not Democrat issues. Folks, we got problems in both political parties today. And so what I'm talking to you about tonight is I want people tonight to say, I'm going to take a stand on the Word of God in the government, because God ordained the home, church, and government, all three institutions. And we need to do all that we can in the home, all we can do in the church, and all we can do in government to raise high the standard of righteousness. As the preacher said, we're like Paul Revere. And he was right. We are not the militia. Our job is like the watchman in Ezekiel 33. The watchman in Ezekiel 33, his job was to stand on the wall and to cry out a warning. If he didn't cry out a warning and blood was shed, then the blood was on his hands because he didn't do his part. He didn't fulfill his responsibility. But if he cried out a warning and then bloodshed happened, then the blood was on their hands. Now, in this battle for freedom, we view ourselves down there like Paul Revere. In the Revolutionary War days, people could go to sleep in their homes knowing that Paul Revere and his comrades, when the British were coming, they would cry out a warning so people could get up, grab their arm, and then be able to defend their home, their community, their family. They depended upon that. That's what we do down there. We read these bills. We testify before committees. We talk with senators. We talk with representatives. We help draft amendments to bills. We watch out for what's going on, and we cry out a warning. I'm going to tell you some things tonight that if you haven't gotten my mailings or my emails, you won't know anything about them. The newspaper, the radio station, the television, unless it's a Christian radio program, for example, that carries my radio program, you won't know what's going on in your government. And folks, let me just share this with you just real quickly. When the abortion decision was handed down in 1973, a lot of people probably thought, that's tragic. They're going to kill unborn babies. That's what abortion is. But you know what? We'll turn it around. We're going to turn it around real fast. Probably thought that in the 1960s when they kicked Bible reading and prayer out of the schools. We haven't got that back. And since 1973, over 40 million babies have been murdered in America. Folks, if we lose freedom in America, it is hard to get it back. And along the way, the tragedy for your children and your grandchildren cannot be measured. So what I'm asking tonight is to not wait until it's gone. It's to stand in the gap and say, Dear Lord, I will do what I can to maintain the freedom that we've gotten. Now, we have two groups of people serving in government today. We have politicians and we have statesmen. Politicians are people that care about only one thing. That's getting reelected. And they're in both political parties. A statesman cares about one thing, and that is doing the right thing, whether or not they are reelected or not. There are very, 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 very few statesmen in Washington, at the local level, or the state level. You are very fortunate down here. You have two individuals that I would classify as statesmen representing this area. That's Representative Bruce Borders and Senator John Waterman, both Christians. Both men that take a stand for life and values and families and church. And you are very, very fortunate. But they are in the minority up there in the Indiana General Assembly. There is indeed a war going on. And at risk are your family, your children, your grandchildren, your church. Now, I want to talk to you about some of the battles that are going on right now. So take that envelope that you've got. Open it up, and let's review some of the legislative update that's there. Now, you all didn't get one of these, but I think that probably you're old enough to learn some of these things. How's that? Now, I said one per family. Do we have an usher back there that I can get their attention or something? Young man, would you go? Here, they're going to bring it. Now, let's do this. I think we've got some excellent preacher. How about if we've got some teenagers, some young people down, could we get these to these young people down here, please? So that they can follow along with what we're going to be doing.
Grade, you'll just stand up.
Thank you, Pastor.
Grade, yes. Stand up.
Thank you, Preacher. We're going to talk about these issues that impact you and your family and your church. These are issues that everybody here needs to be concerned about and things that are being debated right now in the General Assembly. The first one is parental choice in education. Folks, do you know why Christian schools are under attack in America and Indiana today? Two reasons. Number one, they're under attack because every child that goes to this Christian school here takes money away from the public schools. Many, many people in the public schools, there are good people in the public schools, okay? My battle is not with the public schools. That's not our problem. Our problem at the State House is to maintain the current freedom that Christian schools have. Christian schools should not be regulated in who does the teaching and what they will teach. Amen. This Christian school doesn't get any money from the government.
Right.
Therefore, they should be able to hire who they want to hire and teach what they want to teach. But there are people in the State House that would want to shut down this Christian school. Do you know why? Because then if the children are forced back into the public schools, that takes money back into the public schools. But you say, but wait a minute, but the parents want the children to go to this Christian school. The parents want the children to be able to do that. We will continue to be the leading voice at the State House for parents to be able to choose where to educate their children, because that's a parent's prerogative. Children were given to parents to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They weren't given to the government.
Amen.
Now, if along the way, we can get tax credits because the parents who send their children to this school also pay property taxes to support the public school. If along the way, we can get tax credits for parents that do not regulate this Christian school, then we'll fight for that. But if something comes along where they try to find a way to regulate this Christian school, we'll say, no thanks. We don't want that because we don't want any of their controls. But because you do pay property taxes, if there's a way of getting tax credits, then we would support that. Tax credits, but no control. Look at abortion. Senate Bill 90. Women, if a lady in this church finds out that she's going to have a baby, what does she tell everybody? My husband and I, we're going to have a baby. Not a fetus. Not a blob of tissue. A baby. Life begins at conception. And so we have a bill that's now in the House of Representatives that says when a lady goes to get an abortion, that the lady will be told that life begins at conception. That lady just might say, wait a minute, nobody told me that, and she'll run out of that abortion clinic. She'll also be told that the unborn baby might feel pain when the baby is aborted. She might be thinking, but wait a minute, nobody told me it was a baby. So this is a bill called Informed Consent to try to find a way to get information to ladies seeking an abortion to get them to think, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. Men, look at this next one. In Colorado, Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, tried to stop this and could not do it. Senate Bill 200 was passed last year. Do you know who controls the governor's office and the state senate and the House of Representatives in Colorado? The homosexuals. They passed last year Senate Bill 200 that gives men who dress as women access to women's restrooms in the state of Colorado. You say, how could that happen? Here's how it happens. Prior to the passage of the civil rights laws, you could have a restroom for black people and a restroom for white people. After the passage of the civil rights laws, you could not discriminate that way with regard to restrooms, drinking fountains, things like that. There was a lady that was elected the first time last year who introduced House Bill 1250 that's talked about there, and her bill would do this. It would add to the discrimination laws the fact that you could not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, that's homosexuality, or gender identity. What is gender identity? You'll hear a lot about that. The homosexuals want your children. The homosexuals want to adopt children, be foster parents over children. They want to redefine marriage. They want to, don't miss this, the homosexuals want to destroy the very foundation of America. That's what they want to do. They don't apologize for that, folks. They are well-funded, organized, and dedicated. In the General Assembly, where I'll be back this week, there are over 100 paid lobbyists for the gamblers, the homosexuals, and the abortion providers. Folks, they're up there in mass on this bill. This bill was stopped, but they can put this language into another bill or they can reintroduce it next year. Here's what it says. Adding to the discrimination laws are the words sexual orientation and gender identity. What is gender identity? Gender identity is a man that gets up in the morning and decides that he is a woman and puts on a dress, high heels and lipstick, and goes into the job and says, I am a woman and I demand to be treated as a woman. You say, couldn't happen. Minnesota, public school librarian, went to the school and said, I'm a woman. A man, dressed in a dress, said, I'm a woman. And he demanded access to the women's restroom. A public school lady there, a teacher, sued to keep this man out of the restroom and lost in Minnesota. Today in Colorado, men, don't let your wives or your little girls go into a ladies' restroom at a restaurant, in a mall, a public restroom, anywhere, because there in Colorado could be a sexual predator, a man dressed as a woman in that restroom. Because if you can't discriminate against blacks and whites, and you add to that gender identity, you cannot discriminate against somebody that gets up in the morning and says they're a woman, a cross-dresser. That's Indiana in 2009. Why did that lady introduce this year? I'll tell you why. Because she is more concerned about offending the homosexuals and the cross-dressers than she is the Christians. Think about it. I mean, why would you do something like this? She was just elected. She's brand new. Why would she introduce something like that? Maybe it's because they passed it in Colorado and said, well, this is the trend. By the way, folks, this is a bill that I believe our new president would support under sexual orientation and gender identity. Mark it down. When you read something, it isn't just sexual orientation anymore. It isn't just homosexuality. You'll see those words, gender identity. Christian businessman or a businessman has a business under this bill, and a man comes in dressed in a dress, high heels and lipstick, and says, I'm here to work today, and the boss says, you're fired. That person under this bill could sue that businessman. Down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a husband and wife, photographers, were asked to do a commitment service for two lesbians getting married. And they said no. Under a similar law in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they were fined $6,600 for refusing to photograph two lesbians in their commitment ceremony. Folks, the homosexuals are out to destroy this country that we live in today. And it isn't just Washington, D.C., it isn't just Massachusetts. It's right here in the state of Indiana as well. On the right-hand side, protecting marriage. We're still fighting to amend our Constitution to protect marriage between one man and one woman. Protecting churches on the right-hand side, real quickly. Protecting churches. When government officials around the country are going broke in this recession, they're looking for more money at the state level, at the local level. Where are they looking for some of that money from? From churches. They had a bill last year that said that they could come out to a church like this and say the area used for worship ought to be tax exempt. But the fellowship hall, where that wedding's going to take place, where the school is, that's not worship. You ought to pay taxes on that. That's not right. This year, let me share this with you. My good friend Dr. David Gibbs, Christian Law Association, I'm going to see this week. Brother Gibbs would tell you that lots of times what they do, they come in after things start happening to try to stop it. Right. We've worked with Brother Gibbs now for over 25 years. Our job is to keep Brother Gibbs freed up so he can fight in other states, because we're trying to solve problems ahead of time. There was a bill this year. We were the only ones there to testify against it. It was House Bill 1433. The bill said this. They wanted to change at the local level how they handled exemptions for churches. It was authored by the same man last year that wanted to tax churches on things other than the worship area. So we went to this committee and testified against the bill, and fortunately the bill was withdrawn. Does that mean that he's given up? Maybe not. Folks, local government officials are looking for more money to tax this church. If a church in the property is worth $1 million, don't miss this, if it's worth $1 million, the tax bill for the church could be as much as $30,000 each and every year. Remember what I said about abortion. If they ever start taxing this church and they get used to the money, you think they're going to turn loose of that easily? Not once they get started. Protecting the church from being taxed, we'll continue to do that. Please turn the sheet over. Repealing property taxes, we are still leading the effort to repeal property taxes, because if you can't pay your property taxes on your farm, your business, or your home today, the government will take your home, your farm, your business, and sell it because you're only renting from the government, and that's not right. And so, folks, I'm telling you, Don't be confused when they talk about caps and they talk about other things. As long as there are property taxes, and our first step that we want to take is to repeal property taxes on people's homes. That's the first step we want to take, because again, if you can't pay your property taxes and you live there 30 years and you've paid off your mortgage, and then somebody has an illness or somebody dies and you can't pay your property taxes, the government will take your home and sell it. And that's, by the way, let me tell you how easy it is to tax this church. Do you know the local officials in your township have already assessed this church? Did you know that? They've already assessed the pews. They've already assessed the light fixtures, the land, that new building. They've already assessed it. All they have to do to tax this church is to push a button, so to speak, and attach a percentage to the assessed valuation and send out a tax bill on this church. That's how easy it would be to start taxing churches in the state of Indiana. By the way, they'll do it one of three ways. They'll either say, we'll give you an exemption on the worship area, but tax you on everything else. The government should not have an opportunity to say what is legitimate worship and what is not. Everything that Blessed Hope Baptist Church does is tied to the book and tied to the Lord Jesus Christ and is dedicated to Jesus Christ. The government has no right to come in here and say, this is exempt and that's not exempt. This is church, that's not church. The program you have for those kids in Master's Clubs, that's not church. Well, yes, it is. Everything is dedicated to the Lord here. The other way they'll try to do it, they'll say, well, we'll give you 5 acres. We'll give you 10 acres. For those churches that are smaller, that say, praise God, we've only got 4.5 acres. The government should not have the right to say how much land you can have for the ministry that God has given you. As long as you're using that land and the buildings for church purposes, you ought to be exempt. The third area, they'll say, we're not going to tax the church. They'll do something called a pilot, payment in lieu of taxes. They'll call it user fees. They'll say, well, we're not, brother, we won't tax your church. We'll just call it a user fee. If they take money out of the offering plate, it's a tax. You know, and the power to tax is the power to destroy. Look at the next one there, hate crimes. I was speaking at a Fundamental Baptist church about 3 weeks ago. I finished speaking. Pastor stood up after me. He said, I believe there's coming a time when I could go to jail for preaching the truth from the Word of God. In Broward County, Florida, a young man who dressed as a girl was killed down there. Now, that is wrong. To harm somebody else is wrong. But under the hate crime law, they want to give a greater penalty for somebody who is accused of beating up somebody, a man who dresses in a dress, or a homosexual, than somebody who beats up, for example, an elderly lady. They shouldn't be giving special protection, recognition, and a greater penalty to somebody who beats up a homosexual or a crossdresser. But down in Broward County, after that young man was killed, the homosexuals said this. They said the reason why that young man was killed is because of the hate that's being preached from the pulpits in Broward County. Do you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to say that the reason why people hate homosexuals, hate cross-dressers, is because of the preaching from the churches that preach that that is sin. By the way, do you know who the homosexual's best friend is? He's sitting right there. You know why? Because he'll tell him the truth about his sin. Because if that homosexual never trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll die and go to hell. Just like the drunkard will. Just like any sinner will. Any of us. The greatest friend the homosexual, the cross-dresser, the drug pusher has is that preacher sitting right there. That preaches without apology everything the Bible says about salvation. They're the greatest. So we don't. We hate the sin, but love the sinner. That's true because we preach the truth to them. You know, because we want... A guy, let me just share this with you. You're walking down the street early in the morning. 6 o'clock, you're out jogging or something. You come across a house that's on fire. The people are asleep. They don't know it's on fire. You bang on the door. You throw rocks through the window. You yell and scream. They get up. They are mad at you. They are mad at you because you woke them up. You say, get out of your house. The house is on fire. And they go, oh my. And they get out of the house. They run down there. Are they mad at you then? No, they're thanking you because you told them the truth. And so when somebody says, well, you Fundamental Baptist, you're just down on the homosexuals. You're down on those cross-dressers. No, we're standing with the Bible against sin.
and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to tell everybody the truth so that they will know how they can have a home in heaven when they die.
The next one, gambling. We've got too much gambling in America and Indiana today. You ought to work for the money that you get. We have riverboat gambling. We have racetracks with slot machines. We have a state lottery. And now they're looking at putting a casino in Indianapolis and in Fort Wayne. We don't need any more gambling in our state. Let me tell you about a couple other bills that we have been involved in. There is a bill dealing with child care ministries that if a child, for example, fell down at recess and skinned their knee and had to go to the med check, that the state of Indiana in Senate Bill 203 wanted information on that child sent to the state of Indiana. The state of Indiana should not have the right to have information on children involved in a church ministry. That's not right. Fortunately, that bill has been amended. There's a bill dealing with Christian schools and with all schools. It talked about mandatory curriculum, mandatory things that would be taught dealing with financial responsibility, even in Christian schools. I met with the state senator. He called me up. I said, I've got a problem with your bill. He called me up. We went to meet. He said, what would you like to do? I said, I don't want Christian schools mandated in your bill. Because if you can mandate something on financial responsibility, then later on you can mandate something on sex education, on other things. That's just not right. He said, what would you like to see done? And I took my copy of the bill and wrote out there that non-public schools, Christian schools, are completely exempt from his bill. And he said, I'll do it. And he did it. He amended his bill. Now, these things I've just talked to you about, have you read about them in the newspaper down here? No. Have you heard about them on the radio, the TV? No, you haven't. The politicians count on you not knowing what's going on. The politicians are like your fourth grader that gets a bad grade on a quiz. They hope you never find out about it. Got it? Because when you find out about it, you can hold them accountable and make some mid-course corrections. Everett Dirksen used to say this about politicians. They see the light when they feel the heat. Little child keeps messing around with this fern over here. It's a nice fern, but the little child keeps messing around with it. And the parents say, don't do that. And finally, after the 15th time, dad leans over and goes, whop! And the kid says, nobody ever explained it to me like that. And he says, I got it, Dad. And he doesn't do it anymore. Now, what about a politician? What do politicians care about? Politicians care about one thing, getting reelected. Wet their finger and see which way the wind is blowing. And so when you send those emails, when you make those phone calls, when you come to Family and Freedom Day, it really does make a difference. Now, to be sure, some of them may not change. And you know what we need to do? In those cases, we need to be praying that godly people will decide to run for office. And then people will get behind them and help them get elected to office. Now, in order to do some of these things, it has been a tough year for Advance America the last year and a half or so. The economy's been tough on all of us, folks. Let me tell you this about the economy real quickly. If I'd have told you a year ago when I was here what was going to happen the last half of 2008 to how bad the economy would go down, you'd say there's no way that could happen. Folks, America is on a downward slide morally, too. I was speaking in your church before, and as we were talking years ago, if I'd have said there's coming a day when homosexuals would have the right to get married in a state, you'd say there's no way that could happen. There's a bill that's going to be introduced in Indiana in 2009. It's going to talk about men in women's restrooms. You'd say there's no way that could happen. Homosexuals, that we can't pass a bill, a constitutional amendment on homosexuals not being able to get married, you say we could easily pass that in Indiana. Taxation of churches, you say, Brother Miller, that would never happen in the state of Indiana. Folks, it's right at our doorstep today. Now, what are we going to do about that? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and I saw four men among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. My job in Indianapolis is to cry out, God has given me the privilege, the opportunity, the calling to serve as your watchman in Indianapolis, but I'm not the militia. I'm the watchman to say, here they come. We'll put out voter guides to tell you who to vote for. We'll put out voting records to tell you how they voted. We'll send out updates to tell you what's going on along the way so you can hold them accountable. But we need to have everybody participate in the proud Hoosier partnership. Yes, we need your prayers. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But folks, if all you do is pray, but you never put feet to your prayers, then you're missing part of the equation. You need to pray like this Jasonville 500, and you need to pray, but you need to put feet to your prayers, go out and knock on some doors. What's the Bible say? The Bible never commands, I'm right, preacher, and I'm not a preacher, but the Bible never commands a sinner to come into the house of the Lord, but the Bible says go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And that's what our job is to go out and reach him. Now, take out that other thing that's in your envelope, the Proud Hoosier Partnership. Now, before I explain that to you, we've got a short DVD. Where's the gentleman that's going to push the button up here and do that for me? Is he still around? Here he comes. Thank you. It's a short DVD. Who's the man behind the screen? And here he comes, folks. He's going to, now watch this. It's just a little over a minute. If you blink, you'll miss it.
I'm a proud Hoosier.
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 We love God, we love America, and we're proud to be Hoosiers. Advance America has been educating Hoosiers and impacting state government for over 25 years. Hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers have used our voter guides and resources and attended our State House events. The Proud Hoosier Partnership has something for Hoosiers of every age.
Who are my elected officials? How can I communicate with them effectively?
Can I run for office? How does the General Assembly work?
And many other interesting topics and valuable tools for adults, students, and children to explore. Help Advance America develop responsible Hoosiers, young and old. Join the Proud Hoosier Partnership for $8 a month. Register today and receive the Proud Hoosier Resource Book as our gift to empower you to impact your government.
The Proud Hoosier Partnership was created to give every family the opportunity to participate. It's the sequel to the 808. Last year, your church in the entire state of Indiana had more 8 and 08 members, preacher, per capita than any other church. A greater percentage of people said, we will stand with Advance America in 2008. So I'm here to say, we need your help in 2009. It could have been 9 and 09, but it's not. It's still $8 a month for the next 12 months. How much is $8? It's two people going to McDonald's one time a month. It's a medium pizza one time a month. $8 a month is an investment in your family, your church, and your freedoms. We've had, you know, the county has been hurt. There's been some problems down here economically too. But you know one of the counties that's really been hurt bad in America, in Indiana and America? Elkhart County, the RV capital. That's where we had a lot of support coming in. Some of those people are just hanging on. Some may lose their businesses up there. So Advance America has been hurt as well in this economy. But we're trusting the Lord to meet all of our needs through God's people and the churches to help us at this time so we can continue to serve as your watchman up there and get the information out. So that last year we had the book by Brother Gibbs, One Nation Under God. Anybody that didn't join last year but joins the Proud Hoosier tonight, they'll get this book. And then we have a brand new book that a young attorney in Indianapolis wrote. Me. I took my background in dealing with state government and put together a book. It talks about how a bill becomes a law, how to get a hold of your elected officials, how to communicate with them effectively, how to run for office, how to help somebody else get elected office, and some other things in here. Our gift to you for joining the Proud Hoosier Partnership, and you can fill out that slip tonight, and we'd urge every family to do it tonight. $8 a month for the next 12 months or a one-time gift of $96. Credit card, debit card, cash, or check. That's what you can do tonight. And those that join for the first time, get this wonderful book by this young attorney and get the book One Nation Under God. Those of you that signed up last year and you're renewing tonight, and we hope everybody renews, you get my book and then you get the book Lives of the Signers of the Declaration of Independence, a short biography on the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. What was said right before they signed? And in the support for this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, get it, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Those 56 men looked down through the corridor of time and said, we will stand together for freedom. And they put everything on the line. What's it cost today to be an American? I mean, yeah, some you knock on a door, maybe somebody doesn't like the fact you're out soul winning. I'll invite them to come to church, but nobody's going to come and arrest anybody tonight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But right at our door, right at our doorstep, are the homosexuals trying to impose their agenda, those that support abortion on demand trying to impose their agenda, those that want to tax the church. They're right at the doorstep, folks. And we've got to say no more. We're going to reclaim some surrendered ground. So here's what I need to have you do. I need to have every family join with us tonight, if you would. $8 a month for the next 12 months or a one-time gift of $96. Get either the renewal book or the first-time book if you're signing up by Dr. David Gibbs. Now, Vicki and I will head back in a short while for Indianapolis, our home out in Hendricks County. Tomorrow, the State House will start operating again. You'll be back here in your job, your family, your home, and we'll be down there this week looking out for you, watching out for you, sending out alerts, talking to legislators. We need your prayers, we need your financial support, and we need to have you send those emails and make those phone calls because they really do make a difference. It's my plan, Lord willing, to come back to Blessed Hope in 2010 and bring another update if the preacher will invite me back again. But what if the Lord were to come back between now and 2010? Would you go to be with him? I didn't get saved until 1978. I was 27 years old. If the Lord had come prior to that time, I would not have gone with him because I'd never accepted him as my Savior. What if the Lord does come back and you stand before him, you are saved? You're not standing at the great white throne judgment. You're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord says, what did you do for me? What did you do? What did you do with your family? What did you do with the people around you? What did you do with the opportunity I gave you to be in a Bible-believing church? You knew the truth. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Yes, sir. There are people that may be in a church in Indiana today, but they didn't hear the truth like you heard this morning and like you've heard tonight. To whom much is given, much shall be required.